All right, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I want to just read one verse. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Most everybody knows this, but I've been announcing it to everybody I talk to. But Jaime and Sharon are grandparents, and Uncle David is sitting back there. And I was talking with Sharon earlier, Nathan and Brooke. Nathan's their son, and Brooke, their daughter-in-law. They had their first child, Anna Perenna, last Friday morning. Wasn't it last Friday morning? And I was thinking about, after our conversation, Sharon, I was thinking about our needs. And I was thinking about the needs of a newborn babe. It needs to be cleaned. It needs to be clothed. It needs to be fed. And it needs to be sheltered. It needs to be cleaned. It needs to be clothed. It needs to be fed. And it needs to be sheltered. Now, our needs may take on a little more complexity from that as we get older. But those are our needs. That's our essential need. We need to be clean, clothed, fed, and sheltered. And here's the proposal. Here's the point I want you to get today. Every child of God, every child born of His Spirit, verse 19 tells us, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's look at this first thing that we need. We need to be cleaned. We need to be cleansed. That's what a newborn infant needs. All of God's children, all those that God saved by His grace, are born into this world filthy in sin. That's how we come forth into this world. Ezekiel 16:4. I want to read this to you. You're familiar with this. Ezekiel 16:4. As for thy nativity, how you were born, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swallowed at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out into the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. Look down at verse 9. The Lord says, when I passed by, it was a time of love. And He said in verse 9, then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. Spiritual life begins whenever we're washed in regeneration. The Scripture says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we've done. It's not of our will. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It's of God that shows mercy. We're washed by regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. God purges the conscience. The conscience defiled. We're defiled inwardly, and the conscience is defiled. And we're defiled. We don't know God. We don't know who God is. We don't know how God saved. And we don't believe Him. When we do find out we don't believe Him, till He purges the conscience from dead works. And when He does that, every child of God beholds, we're cleansed by the blood of Christ. It's His blood. It's what Christ has done that's cleansed His people. Hebrews 9:26 says, in the end of the world, He hath appeared to put away sin. To put away sin. And the Spirit of God bears witness in our conscience that where remission of our sins is, there's no more offering for sin. They're put away. They're completely put away. The Lord said, when the Lord shall have washed the filth of the daughters of Zion, He said in Zechariah 13:1, in that day there should be a fountain opened in the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And the Spirit of God cleanses us. He cleanses His children. He rebirths His children. He makes us to behold. We've been washed in the blood of Christ. Peter, that night, he was sitting there, and the Lord was going to wash his feet. And Peter said, wash me. Don't just wash my feet. Wash me all over. And the Lord said, if I wash you, you're washed every whit. You're washed completely. You're washed thoroughly if I wash you. That's what He told Peter. Christ put away all the sins of everybody for whom He died. He put them all away. And the Spirit of God reveals that. And He makes us to see, as vile and as undone and as wretched as we are in our sin, it's what Paul told the Corinthians. He said, and such were some of you. Vile, wretched in your sin. Outwardly, just morally bankrupt before God. And He said, but you're washed, you're sanctified by the and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And you know, we're going through this world, and the believer, it doesn't He purges our conscience, but then some kind of trial will come. Some kind of raging against us will come. We do something that brings us into trouble. And we're constantly finding our conscience defiled. We're constantly finding ourselves in need of cleansing. Sometimes, you know, we can't even call on God. We can't even lift up our eyes to God. We can't find it in our heart sometimes to open His Word. We can't find it in our heart to approach unto God. But thanks be to God, He won't allow His child to look to any other fountain of cleansing. He won't let us turn from Him. But He brings us to cry out with David, and He brings us to say, Lord, purge me. Wash me. Wash me thoroughly, and I'll be cleansed. And He's already cleansing us when He brings us to cry that out. Just like He did in the first hour when He brings His child to call out. Just like a baby has to be cleansed and has to be constantly clean. We don't ever get beyond that as a full-grown babe in Christ. We have to be cleansed of our God. And He continually makes us to see, if we confess our sin, if we come before Him like that publican who smote upon his breast and said, Lord, I'm unrighteous, I'm undone, have mercy on me, the sinner. He's just, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And He's continually bringing us through that fountain. He's continually showing us this fountain and calling on us and cleansing us and causing us to call on Him. Don't you find that? That's what a baby needs. We need to be cleansed. And the second thing we need is we need to be clothed. That baby comes and he has to be clothed. She has to be clothed. Ezekiel 16:8 said, when I passed by you, I looked upon you, and it was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over you, and I covered your nakedness. And I swear unto you, and I entered into covenant with you, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Somebody will say, well, that's verse is talking about Israel. He goes on there and he says, and you lifted up in pride, went about trying to boast of something in you. That covenant he made with Israel was a conditional covenant. The covenant he makes in the heart of his people, he makes us see, I've done it all. And he continually brings us to see that Christ was made sin for us in our place. This one who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, clothed in His righteousness. I've told you this before, and I love to tell it again, but when Emma was born, she was the first one that was born, and this was all brand new to me, and I was in the room. And she was born, and she wasn't clean. The doctors cleansed her. They cleaned her. And then they put oil all over her, rubbed her down with lotion, and they swaddled her all in these beautiful white linens. And they brought her to me and presented her to me. And when I took her into my arms, I didn't know babies smelled like that. I never smelled one that smelled so good. That was mine. She was clothed. Listen to this. Isaiah 61:10. You remember, look there with me. Isaiah 61:10. Do you remember in the garden, while you're turning there, just let me remind you this. You remember in the garden, God not only slew an animal in the place of Adam and Eve, He clothed them with the skins. He clothed them. And God clothes His children in His righteousness. We got to be righteous to come into God's presence. And He clothes us in Christ, our righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. He is our righteousness. That's right. Look at Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He's clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. David said, Blessed is the man whom God imputeth righteousness without works. He won't impute sin to him. Now, if God has provided His babes, His own Son, and He's clothed us in His righteousness, we can be sure of this. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Won't He? We need to be cleansed. We need to be clothed. Here's the third thing. We need to be fed. Look at 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. What's the first thing? The Scripture tells us that we're born, we're conceived by the Word of God. Look at 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. By the Word of God. By the washing of water by the Word. We're born of God. And He says there at the end, verse 25, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, the first thing that a newborn babe needs is milk. That newborn babe needs milk. What the mother eats, that babe eats. What the mother eats, that babe eats. And now, when I'm talking about being fed, I'm including being nourished and taught and grown and fed. I'm talking about everything we need is through the Word, through Christ, that Word, through this gospel that is preached. And that mother, when she feeds that baby's eating what that mother has eaten. Now I want you to think about that. The believer. Peter says this is how we grow. Look at 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. That means the sincere, the pure, the true milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you tasted that the Lord is gracious. I want you to consider for a minute. I thought about this week. Consider the picture of Christ, the picture of Christ Jesus, the husband of his bride, the husband of his church. Think about this picture that God has ordained. This picture. I know that sadly because of sin, it's not this way in every household. And sadly because of sin, there's much sorrow that comes. But listen to this. That house that is together after the pattern of God, after the pattern that is glorifying of God. Listen to this now. That when that mother comes home, Brooke's not up running around this week doing stuff. Her husband he's waiting on her. He's feeding her. And what she's eating, she's feeding that child. And if you and I go into that house and walk in that house, all we're going to see is the mother feeding that child. But the mother's getting what she's getting from the husband, and then she's eating, and then that child is getting its milk from the mother. Is that not a beautiful, glorious picture of how God our Father, by Christ Jesus, our husband, He feeds His church, He feeds His bride, and what His bride eats, she feeds the children. Isn't that a beautiful picture? That's a beautiful picture. Whatever we're feeding on, whatever we're eating, whatever we're nourished by, that's what the children are getting. Just like a newborn mother is. Christ is that bread. He's that life. And He's providing that food. And He's feeding us through the sincere milk of the Word. And we don't ever grow past needing to be fed this way. I said to you last week, our earthly families are different in a lot of ways. We're growing up and growing out. This is a beautiful picture of God's house, of God's household, how He continually feeds His children. And even when we're weaned, there's a picture of it. Even when the babe grows and is weaned from its mother's milk, we grow, believers grow, and we grow in the grace of God, in the knowledge of our Jesus Christ. We grow through this Word. We don't ever grow past needing the sincere milk of the Word. It's called stronger meat in other places, but it's still the true Word. It's the gospel. And we feed upon it. But you think of that picture. Even when the baby is weaned from its mother's milk and it grows up, the picture that God set forth in the world is the husband still bringing home the food, and the mother's preparing it and putting it on the table, and the children come to the table and eat. See that glorious picture of God providing by Christ our husband and drawing His children to His table through His bride and feeding His children? We don't ever grow past needing this. We don't ever get too big to go out from this. And when we see this, when we see God, what He's done in His Son by this and how He's feeding us, we know this for a fact. Verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Our needs don't grow past it. We need to be cleansed. Christ is that fountain. He's that Spirit of God who washes us in His Word. We need to be clothed. He's the righteous garment. He robes us in His righteousness, in the snow white garment. I almost bet you. I almost bet you Anna Perina came home from the hospital in a white garment. I don't know. I'm just guessing. Maybe pink. Maybe pink. We need to be clothed. And we need to be fed. Christ is that bread. He's that life. The sincere milk of the Word. And we need this always. We need to be sheltered. We need to be sheltered. Isaiah 8:13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself, and let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread, and He shall be for a sanctuary. You know, the storms of this life, they become more complex and they become, take on all various forms within and without. Look at Psalm 46. But our shelter is always the same. The believer's shelter never changes, never alters one iota. The believer's shelter never changes. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we'll not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Isn't it so? This is what Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. He's safe. Now listen to this. If you don't get anything else I've said this morning, get this. Listen to me. Get this. Our Father knows what we have need of before we ever ask Him. I thought about the joy that we see in the natural relationship that I've been talking about of a father and a mother and that newborn babe. And something else occurred to me. That same relationship can bring about great, great sorrow. Great sorrow. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes. They may forget. But God says, I will never forget thee. I'll never forget thee. Psalm 27:10, the psalmist said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. He'll take me up. And our Lord said this. He said, I'll be inquired of by thee. He knows what we have need of before we ask Him. But He said, I'm going to be inquired of. He's going to bring us to ask Him. Always brings us to ask Him. He's given us access by Christ into His presence. Oh, and this is what He's teaching us. Come boldly unto His throne of grace. Come boldly that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. So Paul tells us now in Philippians 4:6, look there, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Don't be overly anxious. Let us not overly value anything in this earth, or be overly anxious about anything in this earth. But look at this. But in everything, oh, when that newborn babe's born, when that child is born of the Spirit of God by grace, that's a time when it's easy. It's easy to thank God. But our God says in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. It's hard to thank Him for the thorns, isn't it? Oh, you know they're just as needful as the joy. I'm a baby talking to you. And I don't even see the half of it. But He's teaching us this, not to be overly carried away one way or the other, but to be settled in Him And in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And this is what he says. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. I can't explain this. Let me ask you something. You mothers have travailed in childbirth. Have you ever been able to convince a man what it feels like? We just don't know. We have a kidney stone, but we don't really know. We don't know. You know, this peace that he gives in the heart of a believer, it passes all knowledge. I can't describe it. We can't even put it into words. But it's peace that passes knowledge. And he says he'll keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So in the midst of good times, in the midst of lean times, in the midst of rejoicing, in the midst of sadness, when these relationships and earthly ties bring us great joy, and when they bring us great sorrow, remember this, verse 19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, what do we say about that? Unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.